Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody from coming from far and wide. Everyone has their own drive, their own experience of how they get here. So thank you for everybody for coming. Are we on the air? Perfect. Where do you want me to put this? Okay. So this morning's topic, I entitled Cooking Chametz Stick of Cooking Spray and Pesach Stick of Cookies. Now, that might sound like a recipe, but it's not a good recipe. And I mean, it might taste good, but you probably have more problems from such a mix. And I want to start actually with an advertisement that I saw in one of the Jewish magazines. I'll hold it up for our cameras and our audience here to see. If I can figure out how to do everything.
So many devices, sir.
So someone spent a good amount of money putting a full-page ad in Mishpacha magazine with this public service announcement. Don't do what I did. Okay. What's this bad thing that a person did that they're putting an ad in the newspaper? Still good. So they write, it's all too common that grocery stores mistakenly mix up Pesach products with similar-looking Chametz products. This happens in the store and when ordering online. Check all of your products for Pesach and do not rely that stores are perfect. That is what someone spent hundreds of dollars advertising in a Jewish magazine. Now, the people from Kosher's organization say, of course, this is simple. Yes, but at least to this person it would happen to, and to many others, things are not so simple. And it is very true. People in Kashrus will say it, and I've seen in stores big signs, check all your products that they're kosher to Pesach. But honestly, right, the mechilas kvod amashkichim, people are so busy, they're running a thousand things before Pesach. They buy their products some days. They have to go back and forth to the store 10 times to get products, and they go from one store to the other store because the store doesn't have it anymore. They ran out of Pesach products 2 weeks ago. And it's a very daunting experience. And there easily could be a time where somebody overlooks, they assume when they go to a nice Heimische kosher store, they're not shopping just in Publix or Winn-Dixie. They're shopping in a Heimish Jewish environment. They assume everything is kosher Pesach. Especially, you have this in New York more, where they have entire supermarkets just kosher Pesach. You would assume everything you're getting is kosher Pesach. You don't think twice. The same way in New York stores, when you have a big kosher store, they assume everything in the store is kosher. If it's being sold there, now there are some stores that have a hashgacha on the store. I think the Vodden Queens or some stores. Everything being sold like that.
Everything here.
Everything here like that.
The watchword that we teach every mashgiach and anybody who ever asks is don't use the A word. Never assume.
Right, okay.
Conscious 101, never assume.
Yes.
Just the A word. Assume.
But this story definitely repeats itself time after time, year after year, that people buy products in a kosher store, assuming they're kosher or Pesach and they're not. And you know what? I'll tell you a story that happened in my family. 16 years ago, 17 years ago, we were in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. My mother-in-law went to the local makolet, Sanhedrin Merchevet, very from Haredi neighborhood. She went to the makolet, and bought a package of hot dogs. So, right? It wasn't Ballpark Frank's. It wasn't Hebrew National. A package Israeli hot dogs. Right before she goes to cook it, she notices that it doesn't say on the kosher Pesach. Strange. No, maybe they just don't print it. So she sent me to the Rav of the Shkuna to ask about it. So, of course, what does he tell me? It's a problem. Absolutely a problem, right? It was not kosher Pesach. Hot dogs, they have fillers and things they mix in, right? It could be mixed in chametz. So yeah, you can't eat it. For sure, this is a problem. And I said to him, but what do you mean? I bought this in a store right over here by the Badatz, Haredi store in Yerushalayim. How could this happen? So this tough, seasoned Israeli Rav looks at me. Ein zu kushya. It's not a question. He says, L'shana shavra, I mochrim beer b'Pesach. Last year they were selling beer on Pesach. Now, right. In general, you know, kosher scenarios in Israel might be a different story. It's the Wild West. And, you know, there's lots of crazy things that go on. Correct. Kosher scenario in Israel with its own parsha, and especially a year, you know, Shemitah, very tricky. But these things happen. People buy products, assuming it's kosher l'Pesach, and unfortunately it's not. And all it takes for a store is, and what's the difference between a Pesach Tikkun product and a regular product? One little pea on it? It's so, if you're not, you know, take off your glasses, you squint and you can maybe see it. It's the same label as the rest of the year. And all it takes is for one, you know, could be a Mexican employee that's doing the boxes and mistakenly takes a box that's supposed to go to the regular store, takes it to the kosher Pesach store, puts it on the shelf, and next thing you know, everyone's buying that. Just before the shir started, I was with Avram Eliezer. So I said, your father get any of these types of shilohs? He says he remembers one year someone bought a spice. Assuming the spice was kosher, assuming this was kosher Pesach, they use that spice in everything they cooked. Like, you know, Mrs. Dash, everything she go, right? This is your wife's favorite spice. She puts it on everything. Cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked. And then after the bottle's empty, she goes to the next bottle. Oh my gosh. Where does it say kosher Pesach on it? Uh-oh. And this is where we get into trouble. So today's share, I come to address the issues of mixing in chametz tikkun products into your Pesach cooking, which unfortunately is more common than we think. And it's an important topic, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll go through it. Maybe we'll find some heterim that people don't know. People can take a deep breath, and we'll go from there. So firstly, the background. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Simen Tuf Mem Zayin. Dini Taruvot Chametz B'Toch HaPesach. The halachas of mixtures of chametz on Pesach. So the Mechaber writes, Chametz B'Pesach. Aser Taruvoso, a mixture is Aser. Bein B'mino, Bein Shelo B'mino. Whether you're dealing with a mixture where you're mixing the same thing together or you're mixing different items together. It is aser, chametz b'pesach is aser b'mashahu, afila b'hana. It's aser any amount. Normally we say, during the year, right? You have a little bit of drop of milk, right? Your wife's cooking a big cholent, having a big kiddush, and you know how kitchens get, you know, could be quite busy, right? Al and your grandkids running through the kitchen. All of a sudden, the bottle goes flying in the air, and a drop of that bottle falls into the big cholent. Your wife gets so nervous. Oh no, what's going to be? the bottle went flying across the kitchen, and milk fell into the cholent. Now, let's say I make it even more geschmack. The bottle itself fell in the cholent. So you take out the bottle, but it leaked a little bit into your cholent. Well, during the year, that's not a big deal. Because even if it leaked a little bit into your cholent, if you have 60 times the amount of cholent to bottle drip, then you're okay. That's classic bittul b'shitshim. And okay, if you can know the spot that where it fell, fine. But you have a nice liquidy cholent, and there's no spot you can find that got mixed into the whole thing. Your cholent might taste a little bit more buttery this week. No, it won't. That's the idea of bittul b'shitshim. And you're allowed to have it. That would be okay. Deep breath. The thing is, though, when it comes to Pesach, the first thing the Mechaber tells us is chametz is worse than pig. If a drop of pig fell into your cholent, bittul b'shitshim. A drop of milk fell into your cholent, bittul b'shitshim. A drop of chametz? It's over. We'll see. But the Mechaber says chametz is aser b'mashahu. And this is why, now we understand why women can be so nervous about chametz. The scariest, you know, substance on earth, chametz. Any drop of chametz that would get mixed into something, that would be aser, pasha pshat. So we have big problems. Now, firstly, we should understand, where is the basis of this halacha of chametz aser b'mashahu? Where does that come from? What's the reason for it? So if you look inside the Mishnah Berurah there, Chametz B'Pesach, he summarizes a nice machlokas Rishonim. And he says like this, Chametz B'Pesach, Midiraisa havi chametz kishar yisurim. Really, if it was up to the Torah, chametz is like all other yisurim, shinis arvu, that get mixed together, she'enam nosurim taruvosam, that their mixture is not aser, el k'dei litin tam b'taruvas. Only in the case of where that thing, that substance got mixed in, adds taste. The hainu ad shishin, that we say up until 60, 1/60th, it would add taste. So really midoraisa, the same way you're mevatel that pig, same way you're mevatel that milk in the cholent, you could also be mevatel chametz. But comes along the rabbis, ela shech chamim mechmi rubo, the rabbis are machmer, or why? Even the isbe kares. Firstly, chametz does have a pretty severe punishment of kares. V'lo bidlu yinei kol shasa. And additionally, a very important point is chametz is something we're used to. It's not like pig. It's not like milk and meat. Chametz you're allowed to have all year round. So the rabbis were smart and they realized if we don't put fences, if we are not machmer on the iser chametz, people are going to come to be mekel. And we have to know people's psychology. Right? Remember, it just hit me what we talked about last week, where Moshe Feinstein was so nervous. If you're going to put on tefillin before alos and not make a bracha, you're going to come to be mazalz of the mitzvah. So he figured out a way of how we should make brachas even early, before the zman, potentially on tefillin. Our rabbanim are always trying to figure out what are the ramifications that people are going to have in terms of the way they look at these yisurim. So similarly with chametz on Pesach. Chametz is mutter all year round. There's nothing wrong with a good bagel, a good donut come Sunday morning. But I warn again, Josh just walked in. Josh,
yes,
make sure your marmakomos are chametz free. You're going to need these on Pesach.
Okay?
Separate the donuts, the bagels from the marmakomos.
I have them in the WhatsApp.
Okay. He's going to print out a second copy. Smart man. But you see from here, the rabbis were so nervous about chametz, they said any amount of chametz, a mashahu, literally any amount, is aser. And we're doing that because this is the only way that people are going to separate themselves from chametz. Otherwise, chametz, Nishka Ferelich, exactly. And meanwhile, it's Nisar Kares, and bad things can happen. So the rabbis, reason number one, the rabbis went out of their way to Asar Chametz like no other Isser in the Torah. Secondly, they bring down. That, by the way, that first Shita is Rashi Shita, Yipsachim. The Yeshomrim, there's another Shita, I believe, the Rambam goes like this. Mishum Dehavi Dover Sheyesh Bo Matirin, Achar Pesach. It's an interesting idea when it comes to Bittel. You could only be Mvatel something which is always Asar. But something which is going to be Mutter, the whole concept of Bittel, which is viewed as a Bidiyeved, as an important idea of when the person is stuck to deal with things. We don't want you, you know, dropping, you know, little drops of milk into your chalent. We don't want that. And also l'chachila, you're never allowed to do these things. These heterim, only heterim, once it happened, okay, you can deal with it. Obviously, you can't go and say, you know what, let's spice it up. It'll be a good topic come Shabbos morning, have the guests over. I tell everybody, you know, I have some milk in this chalent. But don't worry. Everyone's face turns red. Don't worry, it's Bittul B'Shishim. No, you can't do these things l'chachila. If it happens, then you could still serve it. You could still tell the story. But Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin says that if something is going to be mutter later, then we don't allow Bittul today. Why be Mevatel something today if tomorrow it's going to be mutter? That concept, they say, applies to Chametz too. Since Chametz is going to be mutter after Pesach, there's no heter of Bittul on Chametz on Pesach.
That's still relevant since this Chametz is sitting here, it's mine, and that's a problem forever?
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Right? The problem of Chametz being also forever, that's a din d'rabbanan. Chametz sha'avar alav Pesach, the idea that that thing is usher, that's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. But yeah, when we're talking Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, we're talking classical Torah heter. So that heter will come once Pesach is finished. Pizza will be mutter again. So therefore, on Pesach, we say you cannot utilize Bittul. So if we stop the shir right here, we have big problems. If your wife mixes in that spice, which she thought was kosher l'Pesach, it was on the shelf with everything else, which is kosher l'Pesach. Like, hello, and that's her magic spice. It goes into everything she cooks. Let's build up the case even more. Right? Your wife is not just doing cooking for your family, no matter how big it is. I remember those pictures Alan had of a beautiful family Seder, the cartoon pictures, right? So many people together at a table. I'm not even talking your family Seder. This woman, she's selling cookies to half the Jews in Orlando. And that's a lot of cookies. Right? Mass producing, you know, $10 a box, $20 a box of cookies. Talk about half some Aruba, a big loss. And what did she do? She bought a whole case of cooking spray from a nice gourmet kosher Heimisha place in New York. Got it shipped down. After she finishes the last spray, she looks at them and is like, it doesn't say on the kosher l'Pesach. She cooked, she sprayed that on all the cookie trays on the thousands of cookies she made.
Rabbi, that's probably no worse than
kidding. Oh,
so what I'm injecting is, that's why I picked the case of cooking spray. Because I checked with my bakers, and many times cooking spray has wheat in it, there's dough in it, right? So you spray that cookie sheet with cooking spray, posh pshat, right? It may not be a lot of chametz there, but pashtus, that's what you call a mashu. You spray that down, and cookies and cookies and cookies. So that would be a problem simply by just reading the Mechaber over here. Chametz on Pesach is also b'mashu. You have that cooking spray. You have that spice that you use in all these things. You cooked, you baked. Now you have a big problem. Now seemingly they're all bad for Pesach. What can we do? So I have here today three potential avenues of heter. The fact that there are avenues of heter should make everyone a little more calm. And I think the first of them is the most important. And really, that's part of the reason I gave this whole share, is just for this first part. I think it's so, so important. It's a very clear distinction, and it solves a lot of problems. I still remember a story. I was driving to my parents' house for Pesach, where my wife was on the phone with someone in her family, and she heard of an aunt who was momish having heart palpitations. No, scary, but like also this type of thing. And it's Erev Pesach. There's no time to go back. You can't go to the store. If you messed up on your cooking, buy something else. You know, the store was empty for the past 2 days over here. But there's no turning back. You cooked everything. It's hours before Yontif. What do you do now? So comes in the Mechaber Sif Dalet to save the day. In this Arev HaChametz Kodem HaPesach. If the chametz got mixed in before Pesach, which are many cases, because you're cooking a lot before Pesach. What I'm about to say doesn't apply for cooking on Pesach. But if you cooked before Pesach, in this Arev HaChametz Kodem HaPesach, if you cooked before Pesach and the chametz got mixed in, then this battle be shishim, and there was a bittul 60% against it, it does not have any problem on Pesach of being aser b'mashahu. Wow. That's a save. This whole... Yes. The most important question. When your wife tells you, I have a big problem. I mixed in this cooking spray. I mixed in this spice with something I cooked for Pesach. What do we do now? Time out. When did you cook it? Timing is everything. When did you spritz it?
Before Pesach. But you didn't cook it till after Pesach.
Good point. We'll get there. Right? Pashup shot. Right? If this was done, the cooking, even the preparing, before Pesach, there is room to be matter. Now, I don't want to dash everyone's hopes. The next couple words of the Mechaber, v'yesh cholkin, there are those that argue. Now, that's mean. This right here, off the bat, the whole concept of bittul b'shishim still applies up until, we'll see in a moment, up until Pesach. Bittul b'shishim is year-round. The only time bittul b'shishim falls off is when Pesach begins. Then we say chametz is aser b'mashahu. It's a great, great, great leniency.
It starts earlier in the day, though.
Let me throw you a Mishnah Berurah, Josh. Kodem Pesach, it's mutter. Afilo acher sheish. Even after 6 hours into the day, we get you a full heter until nightfall.
This is gevaldik.
This is gevaldik. Right? Rabosai, your wives will appreciate this. This, you mamish are Superman with this heter. Right? If things prepared, something gets mixed in, now you have to know the ratio. If the ratio was, and don't ask me how to figure out the ratio. You know, you have to know, you have to start asking how much, this is when you call the rabbi frantically. Come down, okay, how much is in the pot? You know, tell me what the pot, how big the pot is, okay? You have to start pulling out your calculus. Right. Yes. But when you have things mixed in before Pesach, the first opinion here in the Shulchan Aruch is you're good to go. Bittul b'shishim still applies up until nightfall. That's a huge save. However, v'yesh cholkim, there are those that argue. I did not have a chance to check up with my Sephardi brethren. What do they paskin in this situation? But look, they have their rice, they have their lafa. But check out the Ramah. The Ramah, the Ashkenazim saved the day. The Ramah writes, V'noagim kisvara harishona. We go like the first opinion. Oh, proud to be Ashkenazi. Right? B'chol taruvos shulach balach. Any mixture which is liquid with liquid, those type of mixtures, it's good. Now, cooking spray is a liquid, right? It's not...
It can't be used deliberately.
Right, no, I can't, right. Again, not deliberately.
No.
Now, my spices, you're right. Spices might be a little trickier. What are spices? The Ramah is only giving you this heter easily by wet things. He says, "Meal bedava yavish is arev, something dry that gets mixed in. Oshiyish lachas daruvas gom pas shenafel yayin. You have bread that fell into some wine. Avbi shenal umisham. Even though you took away the bread, also for Pesach was still afraid on Pesach. The chashim shem nishabo pirurim." We are afraid of little crumbs that might have fallen off and they could give a taste, then you got problems. So I want to back off for a second from that spice case. That spice case makes me nervous for two reasons. Number one, I'm not sure it would be classified as a lach, as might be more considered something dry, spices. Spices innately are dry. And also it's something... The whole nature of spices is it gives a tom. I guess that gets trickier. So mixing up spices, okay, you have to ask your local rav. Not so simple. But let's go back to my cooking spray case. You used chametz sticks of cooking spray on your cookie sheets, right? On your everything you cook, right? Use those sprays. So if it was done before Pesach, you're okay, according to Ashkenazic tradition. If you're in the Machaber world, he brings the Machlokas. You have to check your local Sephardic Rav, which way do they go in the Machlokas. Now, so, L'chora, if we stopped here, we're pretty good. Right? We changed mamash the whole perspective. The most important question to ask when someone tells you that I bought something not kosher L'Pesach and it got mixed in, first question you ask, when did it get mixed in? Before Pesach or after Pesach? If it got mixed in before Pesach,
after Pesach
you got problems. No, after Pesach started. After Pesach started, you have problems. But before Pesach started, even after the 6 hours into the day where already you can't eat chametz, you're still okay. You still get this halacha of bittul b'shishim. Still applies. And you have 60 times that amount, which you seemingly will have, you know, if the little chametz falls into your cholam pot, falls into, for sure, assuming it's more wet than dry, then you'd be okay. Now, what the Mechaber throws in this other line, that it wouldn't be chozer veneer even if you cook it. In other words, what's tricky is it was mevatel b'shishim before Pesach. I prepared it before Pesach. But now I'm putting it in the oven on Pesach. So there potentially... that's going to run you into problems. Granted, it was bittul b'shishim before Pesach. But now when I put it into the oven, that rehashes the whole situation. Now I'm heating it. Something's changing to this object. So that's where the Mechaber says a Chiddush. Even though you're now cooking it, and one might think, granted beforehand, we were able to be Mevatel before Pesach, but you didn't eat before Pesach. You're eating it now. You're warming it up now. So maybe this should restart the whole situation again. And now it's mixing into this heat, into this food item that I'm warming up. Chametz is mixing in. And it's mixing in. I'm talking now. I'm heating it up on Pesach night. So maybe now should be a problem. To that, the Mechaber says, no. We have a heter even there. Mamash Harvey's case. You prepared it before Pesach. And now I'm warming it up on Pesach. One might think that's now a new Shaila. Because granted it was Mevatel before Pesach. But now it's, you're rehashing all the juices. They're all mixing together now. So maybe now should be a problem. To that the Mechaber says a Chiddush. No. There's no problem of Chuzer Veneer. There's no problem of rehashing this whole issue. Once it's bottle, it stays bottle for wet mixtures at least, and therefore everything is good. So you prepare all these cookies before Pesach, and you only bake them on Pesach, you'll be okay. Yes?
So it's Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, and we say there's no bishul after bishul on a typical Shabbos.
Okay.
So why wouldn't that apply here? What if it's cooked beforehand and all you're doing is warming up?
Okay, just mixing in a few things. You're over on Isser Taruvus. Okay, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Chametz, Hilchos Bittul V'Shishim. Oh, that's a mouthful. I actually just heard it. They say A.B. Rottenberg came out with a new song as tribute to this. I don't know. We have people here from the old Jewish music scene. There is a Yid named Moshe Yes. Fortunately, passed away recently. So, there's some song called Ain't No Bishul in the Klishishi. Some new song that came out. Sounds very, very interesting. I hear they have a disclaimer on the album that, you know, please do not rely on this song, Halacha L'maisa. So that sounds like a good topic maybe to tackle after Pesach. But yeah, Bishul, and these things get complicated. So yes, we'll come back to that. So far, this is the big, big area to helpfully save your wives, save yourselves, save your family, save your community, save your business. If there's bittul b'shishim, there would be bittul b'shishim on something prepared, definitely cooked, before Pesach, even if a little chametz got mixed in, you're okay. So this guy who put out this ad, you know, look at your products, look at your products. So I hope he went to the good rav because, you know, it could be, it's not as big a problem as you... Yeah, for sure, also Mechshol. But if his wife cooked it before Pesach, on something lach, you're good to go. Now, potentially there are two other areas where there might be heterim. There's a very interesting Mishnah Berurah. When the Mechaber writes, if you look back to Sif Katan Beis, when it says Chametz is aser b'mashahu, he writes the following. Let's say there's a case of where you have additional reasons to be makel, to be lenient. Some chidin al she'iltos. We rely on the she'iltos, like a medrash. The chametz bepesach shavur l'shar yishrum debeshishim. There is a shita out there that we don't ask for chametz on Pesach with a mashahu. Doesn't exist. There is such a shita. Halacha l'maisa, do we paskin that way? No. Mechaber brings, we paskin ma'alacha, chametz is aser b'mashu. Chametz is aser any amount. But there is a shita out there that says there is no iser of chametz b'pesach b'mashu. Chametz is like every other iser in the Torah, and it's aser only b'shishin. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he throws in this line without any explanation, that where you have other tzadim to be makel, you could potentially rely on the she'iltos. Now this Mishnah Berurah is probably meant for rabbanim only, to know in the back of your head, if you have a real tough situation, and there are reasons to be makel, you could rely on this. OK, Okay, when does that come up? So I found later, there's a Shaar HaTzion. I didn't put this on the sheets, but Os Chaf in the Shaar HaTzion. Just quickly find you the case. It's a little interesting. It actually addresses what someone brought up as a question just before. The Chavar is talking about an interesting case. And you have these things. Let's say you shecht the chicken on Pesach. You open up the inside of the chicken. Guess what was inside the chicken's mouth?
Chametz.
Uh-oh. Is that a problem? And you only find this after you cook the chicken. You roasted this chicken while inside the chicken's stomach was some chametz. So Mechaber says you got problems. Right? Once you reheat something, then it's also b'mashu. So the Ramah says, if you do a klisheni, ein lachosh. If it's in a klisheni, you don't have to worry about it. Not the same level of heat in a secondary source than a first source. Okay. V'yesh machmir m'klisheni b'pesach. The Ramah adds, but there are people that are machmir. V'tovr l'achmir m'yatzel lesbo. It's good to be machmir, especially if it's yatzel lesbo, if it's burning hot. You'd have such a problem. So there. Huh? So this, you're waiting for that share after Pesach, right? Ain't no bishul in the klish lishi. But he says that El Yerabah Kosov, the Iker Dino, the klisheni yesh lakol behefsim maruba, miniasim chasyantov. By klisheni, if there's a big loss, you're cooking for half of Orlando, you're not going to have meat, chicken, on Yontif, the Simchas Yontif involved. You could be Mako. So they brings, I don't know, there's a Pre-Chadosh that says, even a Klisheni, it's Usser. So there, the Chafetz Chaim writes at the end, the Pratsha Yidu Mei Aposkin, the Cholega Deka Kamet Sonam Lakel, Yish Letzari of Dasha Shotos, it's really the Pesach. In a case like this, you're hawking, should I be machmir with shishim? What should I do? Okay, there the Chavetz Chaim says, you know what? There is a shita out there that there's always bittul b'shishim, even on Pesach. So for that, you can rely on it. You need some chos yontif, there's half some meruba. So there are cases where the she'ilto supplies, the Chavetz Chaim says, and it would be permissible. Okay, so that's potentially another thing to know in your back pocket, is there are potentially room to be mekel with the sheet of the she'iltos that chametz bePesach is not also b'mashu. Chavetz Chaim brings in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings in the Shaar HaTzion, and the rabbinic discretion when to sprinkle that heter over here. And I have a third interesting potential way for heter. And this, I'm going to change my case one iota to make sure it's even clear. I have a case, right? So we said, the woman's cooking with her cooking spray, right? She puts a cooking spray on everything she cooks. Before Pesach, you're good to go, right? But what happens on Pesach? You're in trouble. She's using her can of this cooking spray. First night of Pesach, she's warming up the chicken, she puts it on the tray, sprays it, just a little bit. There's only a little bit left in that canister. And then she looks and says, oh no. Oh no. There's no kosher Pesach symbol on it. So again, everything she made before Pesach, it's good. Even after 6 hours, up until, but now I'm on the night of Pesach. And there was a little bit left in the can. So I spritzed it. So I think even there we could find the heter, perhaps. Where's this heter? I just came across a wonderful sefer, Rav Steinemann, Zatzal, the Gedolei Ador, decided after his wife was Nifteres to put out a sefer for Zecher Nishmas, his wife. A beautiful story how much his wife was dedicated to him. And they went through the Holocaust, went through a lot of things, and made it to Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a sefer for Zecher Nishmas, his wife, on halachos that in everything he heard from the Chazon Ish. What's very cool about the sefer is has Rav Steinemann, who himself was in the Gedolei Hador, what he heard from the Chazon Ish. And this entire sefer was reviewed and edited by Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So listen to what they found out, what they talk about. Bottom of your sheets. Amar, the Chazon Ish said, Da Karchach, you have to say, Af l'shir mashahu. Listen to this chap. Even where we say Chametz on Pesach is Aser b'mashahu, what's the translation of the word mashahu? Literally, in English, we translate it as any amount. Yeshir koldu. There's an amount of what it means to be any amount. L'kach efsher delishtos mayim in a ayam b'pesach. You could drink water from the yam, the ocean, the seas on Pesach. V'lachashin l'mashu chametz sheyesham. You're not afraid of an iota of chametz there. Amazing idea. Right? Everything is about shirim, right, in halacha. Right? You have to have this amount of your shir, you know, your kos for Pesach. You're going to have this amount of shir of your matzah on Pesach. This amount of shir of maror. And we measure things. So we've been doing a whole shir today on the idea that chametz of Pesach is aser b'mashahu. Mashahu, literally, we translate any amount. So, the conventional understanding is any drop of chametz mixed in Dunsky. It's over. Dunsky. Comes along the Chazon Ish of Chaim Kanievsky, and they say they heard from Steinemann and the Chazon and the Chaim Kanievsky say that they heard from the Chazon Ish. There's room to be mekel. A mashahu is a shir. There's something less than a mashahu. An iota. A tiny drop. Iota. You love this, no? And if there's an iota of chametz, that's bottle. What's an iota? I think the case I gave is an iota. You have a little spritz in your spritz can, which, as was pointed out, how much wheat is in that spritz, in the spritz can, right? For those who don't understand what the word spritz means, too bad. Right? Spray. Right? You have momish a drop. Listen to when Zadie was young. Right? I won the spritz. Right? A drop of a spritz, that's chametz, that gets mixed in, that's not the din of chametz also b'mashu. You have a big ocean. There's a drop, you know, some people throw their chametz into the ocean. Great, how am I going to drink water? They're messing up our reservoirs, right? The Chol Hamoed, you know, they throw their stuff there. Polluted, right? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says even, he says, "Ani amarti kacha misvara shegam mashahu he's is a shir misuyim." Even a mashahu is a shir, a set amount, and therefore there could be something less than a mashahu. So there are certain cases where your wife's going to say, oh my gosh, I dropped the tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny drop, the tiny, tiny, the speck of chametz that you're finding on your floor that somehow ends up mixed in with everything else, that may not even be the din of chametz also b'mashu, that might be mutter unto itself, based on the Chazon Ish, based on Rav Steinemann, based on Chaim Kanievsky. So I'll end off today's share. I saw a good comic deserves to be repeated. I had a picture of a husband and wife, and the husband's trying to tell the wife, you don't have to go so crazy with your cleaning before Pesach. It's not spring cleaning. You have to, you know, clean areas where you think chametz might be, and areas where chametz doesn't have to be, this, behind, you have to move out the fridge, and this, and the husband and wife are just having this, you know, sechsach. And the husband says, you know, I think it's best, well, let me bring you to the Rav, we should talk to the Rav about it. They go to the Rav, and the Rav says exactly what the husband was saying, that yeah, you don't have to go so crazy, it's not so complaining, this. So after, you know, the wife says his part, the husband's sitting there grinning from cheek to cheek, the wife turns to the Rav and says, but tell me, what does your wife do for Pesach? And then you look into the kitchen, she's pulling out the refrigerator, she's going, he says, it maybe helps a little bit. So look, there is reason to be nervous for the little bits of chametz. Chametz is also b'mashehu, but the little bits of Chaim Kanievsky would say, don't worry about it. And, you know, the ikar is to have shalom bayis, and the ikar is to help out, talking to myself here. And Bezal Hashem, we should all be zochet to free our houses from chametz. We shouldn't buy products that will give us any headaches. But if we have an issue, I think today we're better prepared to deal with it than before. Thank you very much for listening.